Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. People and populations are constantly shuffling around, shuttling from their own homes, cities, and countries, from one airport to the next, a constant migration. At the Real Asian Film Festival, which starts next week, Toronto filmmaker Richard Fung wonders if the same can't be said for food, not just for people. Fung is originally from Trinidad, and in this documentary goes on a worldwide quest to trace the origin of what he calls the Dalpuri diaspora. That's the exile of that roti unique to the Caribbean. His fascinating voyage takes him from Toronto to Port of Spain, in and out of spice factories, abandoned sugarcane fields, a remote island near Madagascar called Mauritius, and finally to Bihar, a little known to North Americans, a little known corner of Uttar Pradesh in India, where he's trying to find the origin of this strange and wonderful food. So on his journey, he gives a politically informed history of indentured servitude in the British Empire, and he also has some amazing shots of deliciously specific foods from around the world. Really good, tasty movie. So I'm picking up that theme for this week and talking about two movies concerned with migration. One following the displacement of people after the Indian Partition, and another about a short but eventful hop by plane from Florida to Atlanta. From Midnight's Children, directed by Deepa Mehta. So Salim and Shiva, which were two of the babies born around midnight in 1948 when India and Pakistan become independent, they have their name tags switched in the hospital by a nurse named Mary. So wide-eyed Salim Sinai is now part of a fabulously rich family of power brokers, while Shiva, who's bitter and angry, ends up being raised by a destitute street performer known as Wee Willie Winky. As he grows older, Salim believes he can hear the voices of all the other kids who were born at the same time from somewhere inside his nose. He thinks he can telepathically contact all the other kids who were born that fateful midnight and maybe bring them all together. So Salim wants them all to get together, be nice to each other, do good. Well, Shiva, his rival, would rather they form a gang of evildoers out for personal gain. He wants to be the leader. So it's sort of like a mini X-Men rivalry going on here. Meanwhile, Salim is tempest-tossed all around India and Pakistan. He goes from Kashmir to Bombay and then up to Rawalpindi to Karachi. He's following along place to place how Indian and Pakistani history went. His fate is tied to those two countries, and he's there for the military coups, Bangladesh's war of independence, strife, and change. So the story culminates in the 1970s when Indira Gandhi declares martial law, and all of these Midnight's children get rounded up, and they're the youth of New India, the people born after India was independent, and they bear the suffering of the oppression that Indira inflicts. So Midnight's Children, the screenplay is adapted by Salman Rushdie himself from his own novel, is a huge epic. Dozens of characters, cities, earth-changing events. So plot turns jump quickly from one to the next. And just when you figure out you like this character, you're already in a new setting in a new era. So-and-so's grown up or died or left the story. So it felt like an entire miniseries squeezed into one movie. I'm not sure it quite fit. The acting's pretty good. Seema Biswas as the nurse Mary, Satya Baba as sensitive Salim Sinai, and Siddharth as the macho Shiva. So this is a huge story, but it's made on a smallish Canadian budget. So I was a bit put off by the threadbare look of it, along with a lot of frequent anachronisms that slipped in. But just the same, I salute the director for taking on such a monumental story and carrying it through to a very dramatic finish. Next, Flight, directed by Robert Zemeckis. Okay, Whip Whitaker, played by Denzel Washington, is a sinner. So in the very first scene of the movie, you see him lounging around, lying to his ex-wife about child support, drinking, snorting coke, alongside a stunning naked flight attendant from his crew. So you got lust, anger, envy, gluttony, pride, sloth, and greed neatly summed up in 5 minutes. But at the same time, he's an amazingly good pilot. His father, who's also a pilot, taught him everything he knows. So next, they're up in the air, heading on a short hop to Atlanta, but the plane starts to experience mechanical difficulties. It starts shaking, and then it's diving into a crash. Everyone's gonna die. So if it not for his unusual flight techniques, he turns the entire plane upside down, the whole thing would have been destroyed, everybody dead. As it is, he knocks the steeple off a church and sends all these parishioners with white blouses running back and forth and holding up their cell phones to take a picture of it. This is the next of his many implied sins. So a few people do die. Anyway, so he's recovering in hospital and he hooks up with Nicole, a beautiful redheaded junkie played by Kelly Riley, who's there for rehab. Soon enough, his drinking and drugs start coming to light, and the impending clouds of manslaughter charges for the people who died in the crash start looming over his head. So how does he handle it? More drink, more drugs, shunning even his junkie girlfriend's suggestions of joining a 12-step group. So will the dreaded NTSB, which is handling the investigation, get him for his drinking? Or will they blame the airline or the manufacturer for what happened? So the movie Flight carries you along with some funny parts, especially John Goodman as his hippie coke dealer. But it also has a few awful scenes when Denzel throws a bottle across the room at a ringing telephone. It feels like you're watching a third-rate soap opera. It's an interesting story with largely good acting, and I love the disaster scenes, but this movie seems to function as a sanctimonious lesson on how sin is no good for your soul and how we all better repent or go to a 12-step meeting or else suffer the consequences. The director, Zemeckis, has made lots of very famous movies. So on the Zemeckis scale, I'd place this movie as better than the horrible Forrest Gump or the unwatchable Polar Express, but not nearly as good as, say, Romancing the Stone or Back to the Future. Midnight's Children and Flight open today in Toronto. Check your local listings. Dalpuri Diaspora is playing at Toronto's Real Asian Film Festival, which starts next week. And don't miss the excellent documentary We Are Legion, The Story of Hacktivists, that opens at the Bloor on Monday. This is Daniel Garber, The Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.